Hey everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to the latest episode of Real Talk Tonight. I'm your host, Annalise Garcia.
I'm your other host, Heather Bravo.
And today we are continuing in the tradition of these fantastic interviews that we've been doing. Before we get started, we want to remind you guys, go to patreon.com/realtalktonight to become a member, get all episodes a day early, and get access to exclusive contests.
Yes.
Yes, and exclusive videos as well. Or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Annalise, same thing there. For those of you that are on Rockfin, go to rockfin.com/Annalise. You can find us there. And if you become a Rockfin Premium member, you get access to not only our premium content, but every creator's premium content on Rockfin. Graham Elwood, Jimmy Dore, Ron Placone, Lee Camp, everybody's there. So you guys should totally, totally check it out.
And don't forget about our contest.
Yes. The contest is still going until the 10th. We have a raffle for two tickets for a comedy class at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, California. To be entered to win, all you have to do is go become a member on Patreon at patreon.com/realtalktonight or buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Annalise, and you will be automatically entered to win. And the people that do win will be notified through a private message.
On October 10th. The yes. The classes are October 16th at noon.
Yes.
So there will be two winners with one ticket each.
Yes.
So please go ahead and join up with us and we'll get you entered.
Yes, absolutely. So we have a great episode today.
Yes, we do. So we have my personal friend. She's an amazing person. She runs her own businesses. She wrote a book. Actually, she's written a couple. I know book two is getting ready to come out. Plus, she is a psychic and she is just fabulous and amazing. We've worked together. She helped find a local missing girl. We're going to get into all of that. So please help me welcome Sage Dupree.
Hey.
Welcome to our show. How are you today?
I'm good. Honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, of course. Of course. We're very excited to have you here.
Yes.
I hear all of the goodies that you're doing, all of the goody things that you've done, and just get into all of your stuff. So I know that we want to jump in and start talking about your sushi foot bar business. And we're going to talk about your book. And then we're going to kind of get into a little bit of our personal psychic connection there. So go ahead. Let us know what's going on. What are we doing?
All right. So you said talk about the sushi foot bar business. The sushi yes. foot bar business opened up Juneteenth of this year.
Yay.
19th. And what I decided to do was open up a foot massage parlor here in the Lancaster area. And not just foot massage, but it's actually massage period. But my main focus was to massage the feet of people who suffer from diabetes, like myself, type 2, type 1, also people that suffer from cancer and they deal with chemotherapy. The after effects of chemotherapy, sometimes people have issues with their fingers and their toes, the numbness and neuropathy and things of that sort. So what my business does is basically do preventative treatment, also do treatment to make people feel better, especially with the neuropathy. Yes. And so far it's been pretty good. I do mobile as well. I've had a commercial out that was on Spectrum for people in the Antelope Valley area. And a lot of people have been actually calling me. I've been dealing with people going straight mobile to their homes and dealing with people that are in wheelchairs, people that cannot get out of bed or cannot, you know, due to COVID, a lot of people don't want to come out. So I usually just go to them and it makes it a lot easier. But yeah.
Yes, I saw actually a video that you posted on Facebook and you had went to a woman's home who was unable, she wasn't mobile. And her reaction to you being there and doing the massages for her and just like her reaction was so overwhelming to me. I cried. Like I think I even messaged you and I was just like, I am so in love with you. I'm so happy that you're able to do this. It means so much to so many people, the services that you're providing, and that you're able to go out and meet with them when they're unable to come to you. Like, right. I think it's fantastic. And I've been seeing great reviews too. So good job.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Of course.
I really do. And I'm looking forward to hopefully what, because I'm a part of the Antelope Valley Chamber of Commerce as well. And what I'm hoping to do is to be able to expand the business and have it to where I can hire more people, where it'll be job creation for people where they can come in and they can go and help people, especially assisted living elderly. So that's like my main, fingers crossed for that.
Yes, you definitely will.
I think I was telling Heather when she first mentioned to me what your massage place is about, I was like, that is so unique. I've never heard of anyone catering to that. And my grandmother was a diabetic and my mother went through chemo. So to know that there's someone out there that is, they might do regular massage too, but they also specifically cater to people that need that extra something, it's really nice and it's very personalized. And I think it's kind of awesome because these are people that not a lot of institutions think about when they're putting services or products out there, mm-hmm. Especially if they're outside of like the medical community, right. So for you guys to be offering that, I think is just awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you are located in the Lancaster Shopping Mall, correct?
Right. I'm actually located in this Soul Plaza. It's on Commerce Center Drive for those that are local, that are in Lancaster and Palmdale, Roseman area. I am located in the Soul Plaza and it's 1140 Commerce Center Drive. And my number, in case you guys want to reach me, is 661-401-2347. That's extension 1111. And for those of you that are spiritual, that number 1111 is what I, that's my direct extension for you to contact me to set up appointments. I do just appointments only. I'm right behind Target. For a lot of people that live in the Lancaster area, if you know where Winco is, I'm right across the street, the opposite side of Winco, behind Target. Right near that Crunch Gym.
Yes. Like we know where that is.
Yeah. So then what's going on with our book?
Wow. Okay. So let me show you guys the cover. Okay. This is Dirty Secret, written by me.
Yes.
I actually started on this book in 2014. And I worked hard on and off through working and going to school. I did a lot of writing. So I would come home from work and school and dedicate myself to a few hours to writing every day. And I stuck to it. And this is the outcome. Okay. This is book one. And it's basically about a Native American and Black guy who was striving to make it in the music industry. But at a young age, he was molested by his aunt. So that was a dirty secret that he had to live with prior to him struggling to make it into the music industry. So I don't want to say too much about the book, but it's actually really, really good. It goes into detail about what he's been through, about living on the reservation, about actually going through being molested by someone that he trusted and loved and who he thought would actually protect him. And it turned out different. And a lot of people don't really talk about guys being molested. But
yeah,
it's true.
That's true.
It's true. Yeah. Guys are molested. And his name is Cheetah. That's my main character's name. His name is Cheetah. And good looking guy. I mean, he's actually, if you look at this cover, it kind of gives a lot of the women, a kind of outlook or just an idea of what this guy looks like. This is his aunt here, very beautiful woman. And again, she could have had any man she wanted, but she chose to molest her own nephew. So grab a copy of that book. Go to bookbaby.com. You can get it on amazon.com. You can go to Barnes & Noble's, Walmart. It's actually all over the internet. So if you pull up Dirty Secrets by Sage Dupree, it's going to pop up, bam, and you'll grab it. And it's a good read. And book two is coming out soon.
Yay.
That's fantastic. I think that's actually another thing that you don't see often is books handling that kind of subject matter. Right. You know, when actually trying to create a real story and a real struggle for the character and really give them depth as a human. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna have to pick that book up. Yes. I'm gonna have to check it out. Yes. I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, go to bookbaby.com, bookbaby, and pull up Dirty Secrets by Sage Dupree. Anybody that goes to BookBaby, or you can contact me directly. You can go to Sage Dupree. You can go to my Facebook, or you can go to Instagram at Sage Dupree, and then you can get a book directly from me. I can send it out to you quick. If you're in the Antelope Valley area, like Lancaster and Palmdale, I can make a personal delivery. You can always come up to the Sushi Foot Bar and grab a copy. I'm telling
you. If I order a book from you directly, could I get it autographed by you?
You can. You definitely can.
Great. Mine is autographed. She's like, I already have one.
Definitely can. My goal, you guys, is to be able to turn this book into a series. So I've been talking to, you know, a few movie execs and movie producers and investors that are interested in what I have to offer. They've been hearing a lot about the book, and they were telling me that they wanted me to give them a treatment. And what a treatment is basically is for you to give them a summary of what the book is about. And they also asked for me to write a wish list. So they wanted me to write a wish list of the different actors that I would like to play.
And this, nice. Yes. So who's on your wish list?
You know, honestly, when I started writing this book, I started writing in 2014, and Nipsey Hussle was on my wish list to play Cheetah.
Yeah.
So it was really unfortunate what happened to him, but he was on my wish list to play Cheetah. And it would have been really good to have, you know, can you imagine having him and Lauren London? You know what I'm saying? That would have been like crazy. But, you know, I do want to talk to Lauren London. Hopefully I can get her to actually portray Aaliyah, because Aaliyah is my, you know, my second character. She would be my supporting actress to the main leading role. Yes. But yeah, that's my goal, you guys. I'm like praying every day. I'm putting it out in the universe. And I always hear when I watch TV previously on Dirty Secrets.
Yes, that's right.
That is so awesome. So I have to ask you, you know, writing a book, that has to be quite an undertaking. And what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced while creating this book?
Ooh, that's a good question. A lot of the challenges that I faced was me not being able to get it done. People calling me and interrupting me while I'm trying to write, distractions, me thinking it's not, you know, me having a personal thing saying, well, dang, this might not be good enough. I don't know if people are going to like this. Maybe I should try this again. I did so many rewrites. That's why it took me so long, because I did so many rewrites and I was really, really like nervous about putting it out there. And people were like, get that book out there, girl, get it out there. Are you serious? Get it out. You need to get this out there. This is going to be good. So when I finished it, it just so happened that I was in a really terrible accident in 2019, you guys. It was really, really bad. And I was close to actually finishing the book, and I got T-boned, me and my son, by an 18-wheeler. And it actually, I was dead on arrival when they came, when paramedics came. They had to use the jaws of life to get me out of the car. And I was complaining that day about working. And I was telling my son, I don't want to work for anybody anymore. I want to write. I want to be a writer. I want to be able to have my own business. I want to be able to do this. And I'm like, look out. And all of a sudden, boom. And I remember waking up with tubes down my throat. I was on life support.
Yes.
Couldn't talk. And my whole family around me. And I'm like, are you serious? So after the doctors told me I was lucky because I kind of, you know, I lacerated my aorta. So I was bleeding out. They had to give me blood. I have 9 screws in my hip. I ended up coming through that because I asked to go home because they had put me in an acute care center and I asked them to send me home. And when I went home, I just sat there in pain and I was writing. I kept writing. I said, you know what? This has got to be it. I just kept writing. And
there you go. And yes. There it is.
Yes.
So,
and your son is doing okay now?
My son is good. My son is doing great, actually.
I remember,
I'm the one that actually took
all the posts and all of the stuff that you guys were going through, the things that he was going through, you know, all of your friends and everybody, all of us who love you, you know, we all just prayed for you and your son on a daily basis.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad that he's doing good.
Ooh, that was so scary. I swear, I was scared to get in a car. After that, I was like, oh my. And you know, you want to know something that's crazy is, you know, my daughter, she's also psychic as well.
Yes.
She dreamed about this happening to us prior to it happening.
Wow.
She dreamed about it. And I had a dream that I was on a freeway and it was raining and I saw this big rig coming towards us and it had like rocks and it was crazy. And I woke up like, you know, but I never put it together that I would end up in this accident. You know what I'm saying? So it was a blessing. It was like bittersweet because I survived. And not only did I survive, but I was able, it opened me up even more spiritually. Yes. So I was able to really put my fingers down with this book. And, I felt like maybe Cheetah is channeling me too. It's like, keep writing. You got to keep telling my story. You know, you got to put it out there. So I did that.
So now, mentioning your daughter and your psychic ability, you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I have a fascinating story of me and you, but I want you to kind of let everybody know what you do, how long you've been doing it, what you feel, what your vibe is.
Okay, so a lot of people on this planet today need to learn and understand consciousness and what consciousness is.
Yes.
And the minute we learn how to embrace our consciousness, because everything on the planet is conscious, rocks, trees, everything that we think is not alive or not conscious is conscious. Mm-hmm. And so from me growing up as a child, from an infant, I remember being in a crib. And I think I was like maybe 6 months old. My uncle told me, he passed on now, but my uncle told me, he said, you were in the crib and I stood over you and you were looking at your hands. I said, I remember. I said, that's crazy that you said that. I remember you standing over me and I remember looking at my hands. He said, how could you remember that? You were only 6 months old. So that tells me that my consciousness, I was actually aware of my consciousness and I understood that I was here in this particular body having a human experience. And from that, I said that to say that a lot of us actually have intuition and we have intuitive abilities, but a lot of us are so scared we don't pay attention to it. But when you have, you know, your first mind or your, you know, you hear my gut told me to do this and that, and I went this way. My gut said turn left and I turned right. And I wish I would have listened to my gut. Your gut never steers you wrong. That's the inner you, that's the higher self, that's the light being that we are all connected to that we really don't understand about. So we're all spiritual on this planet. Now, my psychic abilities started happening to me back in 1995. I went through a traumatic experience and I was already dreaming about this traumatic experience and I would wake up crying. But I didn't really understand that this was something that was getting ready to take place. And my dream was an omen. It was a warning. So when this traumatic experience took place, I realized then, I said, you know, I need to go and find out a little bit more about psychic ability. So I started going to this place called the Psychic Eye that's out in the valley. If a lot of people are aware of San Fernando Valley, there's a place called the Psychic Eye that's on Ventura Boulevard. And they, you know, when I walked in there, it was like, I just start crying because I felt like I was home. And I got a chance to meet other psychics. I started getting books on psychic ability. I started getting tarot cards. I was drawn to certain tarot cards. And then people just started magically coming to me right after, you know, people in the industry, rappers, people that I'd never thought, I'm like, oh my God, this is so-and-so. Oh my God. So I would read for this person and then they would call me and be like, you know what? Remember when you told me that day, blah, 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 that happened. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, a few of them were scared. They didn't want to talk to me anymore after that. But then others, they kept coming. I heard about you through so-and-so and da, 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 da. And then I just kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it. And I ended up opening up a group In 2000, I believe it was 2015, I opened up a group. I think it was 2017. I opened up a group on Facebook, and I ended up bringing people in. And then it was just like people just start coming from everywhere. You know, I would do glimpse readings on people. I would just say, you know, there's a person here in the group that's suffering from Graves' disease. If, you know, I'm not going to say your name, but I know you're listening today. And I just wanted to let you know that it's not your fault that you have Graves' disease and that you need to continue to keep looking for holistic treatment. And this girl comes in and she's like, oh my God, how did you know that? You're talking about me. Oh my God, you know? And then I just, you know, I just started, you know, reading, you know, just reading. People were coming to me about missing people. People were coming to me about pregnancies. You know, people were coming to me about relationships. You know, it was just talking to people that had passed on. And I've done things for people. I did a reading for one lady and I just called out. I said, who is Lee? And she said, oh my God, that was my brother. How did you know his name? You know, and I'm like, it's just, this is a gift. And this is something that I'm sharing with you. I said, but Lee wanted me to let you know to tell your mom that it's okay for her to go ahead and date, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She was like, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, so next thing you know, it's like thousands of people coming. And, you know, with my group, it's over 3,000 people in the group. But it started draining me. It really did. It started draining me. And then after the accident, I said, let me give it a break a little bit and let me heal myself. Yes. Because I gave so much of myself to the point where, you know, sometimes being a psychic, if you give so much of yourself, you really lose a part of you. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you want to tell it?
I was a part of that group and I used to watch you. Every time you're going live, I watched you. And there was a couple of times you called me out. We were going through things with a custody and visitation with my granddaughter. And you sidebarred me and was like, Heather, don't worry. You're going to see your granddaughter. And we hadn't seen her for almost 6 months. And you said, don't worry. She's going to be at Nana's house. You're going to have her all the time. And within weeks, I think it was, I messaged you and I was just like, yep, I have her. You know, it's set. We get her this many days a week. And now the relationship is so good that anytime the mother needs help with anything, she calls me, hey, are you available for her today? So I get her, you know, 3-4 days a week, plus our weekends and our scheduled visits. So I have her all the time. I had her today. And so she was absolutely right about that. She put me at Comfort. She also talked to me about businesses that I would be doing. And in fact, this one was one of them. She said that I was going to be talking in front of people. People were going to be watching me. She told me I was going to be in sales. And then I opened up my Amazon business. So she's been right on the market. So every time, you know, and then sometimes I'll just catch her and, you know, she'll be reading cards and, or she'll have her pendulum out. And I watch her. Maybe not all the time I have a question for her. She doesn't call on me all the time, but just the energy that she puts out there, it makes you feel so good. And when she's done with her session and you log off, like you feel like you can breathe clearly and freely. And it's just such a great vibe and I love it. I hope you don't mind. I really, really want to share our story of that missing girl.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If I share it.
Yes.
Okay. So a few years ago, there was a girl, she was going to college out of state and her family lived in Lancaster. And she called home and said that she was on her way home for this holiday weekend. And they had put all over Facebook, she never made it home. They contacted the police, they contacted the sheriff's department. They found like a ping off of her last, the tower that she passed on her phone. So they knew an area of where she was last, but they said that they had searched it and they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find her car. They didn't find her. And it was just all over Facebook over and over and over again. And I kept seeing it and I kept feeling like, oh my God, like I have to do something for this girl. And it kept nagging at me and nagging at me and nagging at me till finally I was like, what can I do? I'm going to call Sage. So I messaged her. I sent her a picture of the flyer that was out. And I said, you know, for some reason, I keep getting drawn back to this case. And I don't know why. I don't know them. I don't know the girl, but I just feel so strongly that we need to do something. Is, you know, do you get a vibe off of it? Is there anything, you know, that you can help with? And about 3 minutes later, she was like, she's on this road and the road is really messed up and tore up and there's holes and all kinds of stuff. And she was on this road in the dark and she went over the side. And I was like, oh my God. And she was like, but she's alive. She's down there. She's near water. And she had like broken a leg and fractured an arm or something. Like there was one side of her body that was kind of messed up. So she wasn't able to climb up. So you told me, get a hold of her family and let them know they have to look at this area, but she went off the side of the road. She's down by the water and they need to get her. She's not going to survive very much longer. And then a few minutes later, she sent me a YouTube video of a roadway. And she said, I feel like this is the road. And people had put it up on YouTube because it was so messed up and it would really jack up your car driving on it. So people were putting it up there and talking about their experience and them trying to fix these roads. She was like, I feel like she was on this road. So I Facebook instant messaged the sister and I told her, you know, you don't know me. You're going to think I'm kind of crazy, but, you know, I've been drawn to your sister's case and I have a friend and I kind of broke it down to her and I asked her, you know, can you call me? Can we talk? So she did. She called me. And I told her everything and I told her how I came about this information and I sent her that YouTube video that you sent me. And 9 hours later, it was plastered all over Facebook that they found her. They found her in the exact spot that you said she was in, on that road that you sent me the YouTube video from. And her injuries were just as you described. She was unable to climb out. She was severely dehydrated. They said if they had not gotten to her within the next 24 hours, she probably would have passed. So I immediately then messaged the sister congratulating them and the family on her safe return and was so excited, and they blocked me. So it was like, that told me that they got freaked out. They got scared. They got scared and they blocked me and I was never able to contact them again. But that was something that like we went through together and it was very emotional. But it was so fascinating the way that you just looked at her picture and you were like, this is where she is. This is what's going on. This is what happened. These are her injuries. Get on it, man. And like you literally saved that girl's life. So, you know, I ever since then, I'm like, anything that you say is the law to me. You know, I listen to it very carefully. I pay attention. I, you know, write it down. I remember it. I go back and refer to it later. And you're not wrong. And, you know, the abilities that you have and the things that you've done in your community and the things that you've done for other people, complete strangers, is just amazing. And it's so heartwarming that, you know, you're not getting paid to do this. And people just come to you and say, hey, I need your help. And you're so willing to help. you know, but like you said, like it can get draining, and I've seen you go through the very tired phases and, you know, say, hey, I'm going to take a break for a little while. And, you know, I can only imagine, like, so my mom used to have like this intuition. So anytime me or my brothers went out, if she had a bad feeling, we normally didn't go. There was one time that my brother was like, Mom, I'm going to be fine. You know, he's 18, he's an adult, blah, blah, blah. And he went out with his friends, and him and his friends were in a horrific accident that night. And after he had left the house, my mom came into my room and she was just like, Heather, you have to pray with me right now. And I was like, okay, what are we praying about? And she was just like, we're going to pray for protection for your brother. Because I told him I didn't want him to go. I felt bad. Something's going to happen. And he went anyways. So we had our little prayer session for him. And about an hour and a half later, we got a call from the police station letting us know him and his friends were over by Magic Mountain. They were doing a new parking lot and it was all loose gravel. And his friend had a truck and they were doing donuts in the gravel, and they literally skid and flipped. And it was a king cab. So my brother was in the back cab and the truck flipped. One of the girls with them, like she broke her collarbone. Somebody else got like glass in their face and head. And when my mom was like, you know, talking to my brother, oh my God, are you okay? And he was like, yeah, Mom, I was fine. I didn't even spill my Slurpee. So he was like, I'm fine. We opened up the top door and
his prayers saved him and the Slurpee.
Yeah, wow. He didn't even spill his Slurpee. So, you know, so yes, intuition is real. It really is. It is. And that has kind of trickled down with me with my kids. And yes, listening to your gut is very important to me. I've always, yeah. I've even told her a few times now, I don't like that. We're not doing that. And I'm like, no, no, you're not doing that. I don't like it.
That was funny. He said he didn't spill his Slurpee. I know.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. He said they're all standing there with the paramedics there and he's just sipping on a Slurpee, you know?
It was wow. Great. He said he didn't spill a Slurpee. Well, that makes me want to go get a Slurpee. And we have a new 7-Eleven that's opening up and they have on the bottom Slurpee. I'm gonna grab me a Slurpee every time I drive, I'll put a Slurpee right there on the side.
Yes. So when is our second book coming out?
I'm actually working on book 8, to be honest with you. And I have all of those books. I have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 done, and I'm finishing up 8, but I'm going back to 2 so I can push that out there for them to go ahead and start the editing and then get ready to start. I want to kind of put 2 out the same time that I had 1 out. You know what I mean? So I can have it, you know, come out around the same time. And then I want people to kind of like be like, dang, you know, I got to go get book 1. I didn't even get book 2. Let me go get book 1 and 2. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So what is like for aspiring writers that are looking to publish their first book, what's some advice that you would give them? What was your process? Did you self-publish? Did you go through a publisher? You know, what are some of the hurdles that they can expect in the process? Like any advice that you have for first-time writers?
Okay, so for first-time writers, I'm not going to even lie, it's hard, okay? Especially if you're a new writer and nobody's heard of you, you have to go and find an agent. So you have to find a literary agent first. And a literary agent, they may read maybe 3 chapters of your book. If it hooks them in, they may say, hey, you know what? I like this. Let's go out and market this to this publishing company. And then, or you might not even find a literary agent. It might take you forever to get a literary agent. It's usually now, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. So with me, instead of going through the middleman, paying the literary agent finder's fees and 15% for this and that and the other, I felt like, you know what, I can publish it myself. I've known other authors who's actually published their own books and actually made a ton of money from doing self-publication. They sold their books out of their car, met people at the beach, at parties. They had book, you know, like if it wasn't for COVID, I think COVID put a lot of damper in a lot of things that I wanted to do with this book. But what I wanted to do was to get a party going and then have people come in and just, you know, serve like a bunch of food and have people come in and buy. You know, I had bought like 100 copies of my book and I wanted to kind of like sell them out like that. But because of COVID, I have to do it this way. And I have a print on demand. But for any writer that's starting off fresh first, the best thing to do is cut out the middleman. It's just like doing a record, like if you get a record deal. Usually when artists get record deals, the money goes to the record label. It doesn't actually go to the artist. The only time the artist actually sees any money is when they're doing shows. So if you're an artist and you're signed to a label, you got to do what they tell you to do. You got to release what they want you to release. That's how a publishing company works. They might want you to take this content out, put this in, and it takes away from everything that you wanted. And then 90% of the profit goes to the publisher, and then 10% of the royalties go to the writer.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it like that. I felt like if I'm independent, I can get everything that I want. You know what I mean? And do it right that way. And then have the book go around and circulate. And then people say, dang, you know, I heard about this book. Hang on a second. You know, let me go talk to this person. You know, and I still may get a movie deal. It's the same thing with the lady with this guy, Elon Harris. He was a great writer. This guy did so many books, and he had people, he would go into beauty shops and just, you know, pitch his books off, and people loved him. And then he became a published author through a Main Street publishing company based on him doing self-publication. Sunishka Jackson, that's another one. You know, there's a lot of great artists that are actually independent. Nipsey Hussle, he was another one, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's better to do it that way than have to go through trying to go through the fine tooth combs. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot involved in that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I remember when you got your books, and like she put it out on like Instagram and Facebook and sent out links where we could find them on Amazon and or where we could order directly from her. And I mean, she had her hustle on for a while, but I mean, people were just, they were flying off the shelf. I remember logging into Amazon and they were like, get yours now because quantity is low. And I was like, oh my God, she's going to sell out, you know? And it's great. Like the way that she did it, the process was actually really great.
Yeah. And then I have a lot of people that's actually buying, you know, getting the Kindle version. I have over 1,000 downloads. You see what I'm saying? Wow. So that's a lot. I mean, I didn't really make any money from it, but my name is getting out there.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? My name is getting out there. People are looking at this. They see this cover. If you pull it up, you Google, boom, it's right there. It's like, dang, you know, it's even over, you know, authors that's been published through mainstream publishing companies. Dirty Secrets is out there because of the way the cover looks. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times people say,
yeah,
the way the cover looks, you know? So yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping the next time I come on here with you guys,
yes,
I'm talking about a series, you know what I'm saying? And I can be like, hey, you know, I was on with the ladies.
I was on Real Talk Tonight. Talking real.
I was on Real Talk Tonight, keeping it real.
And my Corona.
She's babysitting. I'm almost done.
I know, yeah. I know.
Cheers, everybody. You know what I mean?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah. Okay. So besides the book, your 8 books, what else can we expect up and coming from you?
Oh, okay. My daughter has a makeup line called Alani Winter.
Yes.
And I have been actually investing in that. And we're going to be doing winter sweaters and hoodies and beanies and things like that that have the logo Alani Winter on it. Hopefully we can get those out for the fall. Hopefully by Christmas, because we did go ahead and get some, you know, get the Alani Winter makeup line on Amazon.
Yes.
So we're going to try to get, push that even more and push her makeup line and her t-shirt line. She says, Mom, you know, I should have changed it to and made the t-shirt line Alani Winter. you know, which is good because her actual name is ringing bells. You know what I mean? A lot of people are, you know, sometimes it takes a while for you to get notarized or notified, or how would I say it, for you to get big or for you to even be noticed.
Right.
But I told her sometimes when it's slow is better, because a lot of people will come up and creep up on you, and then you'll look around and it's like, oh my God. But yeah, her stuff is all natural, vegan, gluten-free,
nice,
paraben-free, animal cruelty free.
Yes.
And then it has like the hemp, and you know, it's like all natural, you know, her lipsticks and stuff, her lip gloss, her eyeshadow. She has mineral blush and all of that stuff.
Yes.
And it's really, really nice.
Nice.
So
yay. So we can see you working on that too.
Definitely working on that too. Definitely working on that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's just, you know, one of the common themes, because obviously we've started our own business as well, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we are working on, you know, completely supporting ourselves from that. We're not there yet, but we're working on that because we're tired of the 9-to-5 grind. You're literally
Putting
your ass off to earn pennies on the
dollar. Yeah.
While some rich asshole gets all of the profits from your hard labor.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just so done with it. And so it's like, you know, understanding that it takes a serious leap of faith, and it takes bravery, mm-hmm. and it takes courage to be willing to risk failing in order for the potential to succeed.
Right.
And it's very scary. Like, it's very scary. It's like, oh my God, what if this doesn't work out? What if that doesn't work out? But the mm-hmm. truth is, we've been watching like our subscribers grow, and it's because we're putting out consistent content, and it's because we're putting out quality content, and it's because mm-hmm. we're talking to interesting people and just regular everyday entrepreneurs that are just trying to make it and grow their small business. And you see all of us working on different fronts to have income from different areas so that we can sustain the dream of just being able to survive without having to have someone breathing down our necks like we're their freaking slave.
Oh my God.
Like, you just want freedom.
Yes. Right.
Like, even the smallest thing, I'm not a morning person.
Right.
The smallest thing as just being able to have control over what time I get up and just allowing my body to decide that.
Yes.
Instead of having some asshole tell me that I have to be in an office at 7, that's not even natural. It's not even natural to be in an office at 7 a.m. You know who wants to be in an office at 7 a.m.? A fucking psychopath. That's who wants to be in an office at 7 a.m. Like, we're human beings. Like, back in the day, before the industrial era, people used to have time to frolic and, I don't know, think about life and what they want. But now they got you on the grind so much, that way you don't have time to think. You don't have time to think about how fucked up your life is. You don't have time to think about how fucked up the system is. And you definitely don't have time to think about how you only, I mean, I'm an atheist, so for me, you only have one life. And is this really how you're going to spend it? You're going to spend it going to a job that you hate every day. You're going to spend it, you know, like just answering to people that you can't stand. What about your own dreams? What about your own passions? What about pursuing something that you feel connected to?
And it's funny that you talk about that, because before we got into that accident, November 19th, I was bitching just like that to my son. I was like, I'm tired of sitting here clocking in for this bitch. It's like, she wants me to come here and do this and do that.
Yep.
You know, and she doesn't give a shit if I take a day off. She doesn't care how I feel. She told me to catch Uber, and I live like 22 miles away from the job, and she wanted me to take a Uber. I'm like, well, there's Uber and Lyft. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I get it when you talk about you want to work for yourself. To me, I never taught my kids to go to school, go to college, you know, graduate from high school, go to college, you can get a good job. No, I taught them work smart. Don't work hard.
Yes.
Work smart. Get your ass out of high school, get a business, and get residual income so you can create jobs for other people. And give them a position to where, like, when you want to come to work, you don't want to come to work and sit up every day looking at a computer, sitting here doing this all day. And then by the time you retire, you're dead.
Yeah.
I know so many people that's actually retired and died 2 months after they retired. That's not me. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that. That's one of the reasons.
I mean, just the fact that we want to actually experience life, and life is not being stuck in an office.
Right.
Like, that's not life. That's just something that you're forced to do for someone else because you need money for basic shit that should already be taken care of anyway. We should have healthcare for everybody. We should have a universal basic income to lift everybody out of poverty so that we don't have homelessness anymore in the richest country in the history of the fucking world.
Exactly. That's
so part. It's just, it's ridiculous. Like, the fact that we have student debt is outrageous.
Like, the fact that we have property taxes is outrageous. Shit, yeah, I paid for my house. My house, this house is paid for, okay? I paid cash for my house. But then I got a tax bill telling me that I got to pay $6,000 and it goes up 2% every year. So you mean to tell me I just paid you guys cash for my house and you're telling me that I got to pay you property taxes? So that means I don't own the house.
Right. And at least if the property taxes actually went towards something, but the roads are still all fucked up. The schools are still having teachers have to bring their own supplies. Right. Like, what the fuck is happening? Where is this money going?
Some of my money is going towards a community pool that I haven't even used. I can't use it. It ain't even, someone will do to COVID. You can't. So why are you collecting my money?
Right. You're right. Right. Nothing's getting done. And that's the criminality. So one of the things that I'm involved in is I'm on the advisory council of the People's Party, and the People's Party is a brand new, like, major political party that will never take corporate donations. They're basically gonna stay away from everything that has fucked up all the parties. They're for Medicare for all. They're for a basic income. They're for all these normal things that we should already have.
And everybody should. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so it's like about creating solutions, because the truth is, there is no difference between the Democratic and Republican parties. They're both corporate parties. They're both corporate parties.
Yes. They're both in bed together.
Exactly. Yes. So, and then all they do is just create this perfect system for these billionaire pedophiles. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, what the fuck?
That's another show.
We're gonna have to have you back. Yes. We're gonna have to have you back.
She'll be back.
But yeah, it's the whole system is rigged against us. It's set up to, you know, help the rich and destroy the poor. And
exploitation. Exploitation for sure. I can be a rich billionaire with a fucking printing machine, and I'm gonna hire Joe Blow over here and give him $10 an hour.
Yes.
Print and work this machine for me while I'm making thousands of dollars off of that shit, and he's starving and can barely pay his damn bills. Bullshit. How come he doesn't own part of that machine with me where we can make thousands together?
Right, a co-op. And
everybody living.
A co-op.
Co-op and everybody living in common. Right. Come on.
Yeah.
Totally. Absolutely. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah, it's just so, we've been interviewing so many entrepreneurs, and we're obviously on that path ourselves, and it's like, people are fucking tired, dude. People are fucking tired of working full time and not being able to afford a roof over their heads for food, like just basic shit that if you are a full time worker, you should be able to afford, and having all their time controlled and taken advantage of. And it's like, people are over it. People are fucking over it. So it just,
I've been over it.
It just makes me so happy to see people breaking out of that system and pursuing their dreams and just saying, fuck it, this is what I want to do. This is what makes me happy, and I'm going to do it no matter what tries to get in my way.
Right. And you guys know, I just wanted to point out to you also that what Facebook is doing too, you know, yesterday it was down. So a lot of people were talking about that. But what a couple of whistleblowers came out and they started talking about how the algorithms and how they're promoting more hate, promoting more bullshit, because they're trying to keep the little people like us that's actually pushing getting your own business and working smart and not harder and fucking, you know, pushing the exploitation to the side. They're putting all that down on the bottom part of the algorithm section so that nobody sees that. That's one of the reasons why my daughter's makeup is not being seen. That's one of the reasons why my book is not being seen. They talk about all that shit in the book too. We talk about that in the book too, as it keeps going, as far as working smart and not hard, because there's a lot of Native American reservations that are starving.
Yes.
That have no money. Yes, women are going missing. You know, the Native American women are coming up missing. Yeah. Not only are they coming up missing, but there's a lot of suicide. There's a lot of genocide. They put that COVID shit over on the reservations, and a lot of them are dying because they have no proper or adequate health care. They have no adequate school systems, none of that, you know, and people are tired. 2022, it's going to be a lot of shit changing. I see that coming. With my psychic ability, I've already had dreams about things changing here in this country. Yeah. I've already had dreams about things changing here in this country, and it's going to be because of the people. People are going to start opening their damn eyes and waking up.
Yeah.
That's why they want to stick everybody with this fucking vaccine, honestly. Yeah. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because, so she's a very like spiritual person, right? I'm the atheist, but I don't know if you know who this is, but I actually watch Queen Cup. I don't know if you've seen her on YouTube. And she, she does these like tarot readings, right? Which is not something I normally watch because I don't really believe in any of that stuff. But what I have found is that you can get value out of these things, even from a secular standpoint, because the way that I look at it as is when she's doing her readings, she's telling a story of a situation or something that's going on. And what it does for me is, it helps me figure out if that situation applies to me, what is the best and most positive way that I can handle this so that the outcome is the best outcome that it can be. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't really connect with the spiritual stuff, I can't tell you the kind of value that I get. It's almost like mentoring. It's almost like coaching of when you come up against these walls and these obstacles. Think of it this way instead of that way. So one example is one of the things that she talked about was the true meaning of justice.
Right.
And now some people think that the true meaning of justice is, oh, this person did something bad to me, so now they have to have something bad happen to them. Right. But that's not the true meaning of justice. The true meaning of justice is you doing better, you getting ahead, you getting your rewards for all the hard work that you've put in. So instead of focusing on harm being done to other people, focus on elevating your life and having a bigger life for yourself and bringing in more positive things to yourself, or like just talking about things that you're grateful for every day. Right, and that's something that I've started doing is I've started listing three things that I'm grateful for every day. And she's usually on the list.
Yeah.
And it's just, even if you're coming at this from a completely secular standpoint, there is still so much value and so much wisdom and so much mentorship that you can gain just from listening to people like you, because you look at things from a different perspective. You go internally and you go, okay, let's think about the meaning of this. Why am I angry today?
Right.
Why is it that I react this way towards this person? Is there something else going on? Okay. How do I deal with that? Mm-hmm. If someone's hurt me, how do I let that go?
Right.
So I just find tarot and like your area of the world, I find it very interesting because I feel that it can help anyone on a human level, no matter what angle they're coming at it from. And I think that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I look at tarot. I don't actually use the cards I use the cards for people to kind of give them a, you know, something to look at. For me, where my intuition comes from is from me. It actually comes from me. I can feel energy. Energy never dies. That's a scientific fact. We know that, okay? It's a person's energy. Just like what you said about this person talking about justice, saying, well, this person did this, so they deserve to get that. Facebook is based on negative shit, okay? They push the negative agenda to get more clicks from people. It's drawing people in. That's just like music with the frequency. 440, 435. You see what I'm saying? If you look at the different frequencies of music and you can tell when you're listening to certain music and it has that 440 frequency, people are gonna have a fucked up attitude. Then when you listen to music that used to play back in the 60s and the 70s, it was on 435 megahertz where people were thinking of love and peace and you know, prosperity and togetherness and unity and all of this. And then they decided to push the agenda and change the frequency, which when you change the energy on anything and you change it into a dark place, because one can't exist without the other, you know,
right?
Dark can't exist without light. Good can't exist without bad. So if you're leaning more towards the light, you're more apt to bringing in light. You know what I'm saying? If you're leaning more towards the dark, you're going to bring in more dark. You know what I'm saying? So where I'm sitting in the middle here, I'm sitting in a duality position. I'm sitting in balance, and I'm trying to figure out how to keep everything at a balance. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we're so fucked up, because it's leaning more towards the dark. You know what I'm saying? And they figure, oh, we get more attention when we push out this bad shit. That's why people, when they look at the news, it's always fucked up. It's never nothing good. It's always something bad because it gets more attention. It's like, oh my God, oh my God. And if something good, you know, when you read something good or you see something good, it's like, wow, for a minute, but okay, what's bad? What's bad? We're programmed into this bullshit. It's programmed in our minds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I saw the thing that came out with Facebook, and some people were trying to say, okay, so first of all, I'm super anti-censorship. I don't ever think you should censor people, even if you disagree with them, even if they're saying horrific shit, unless they're breaking law, which there's already laws to deal with that.
Right.
But I always think that the solution to bad speech is not censoring anyone, it's more speech.
Right.
So that you can actually bring in the good stuff. So some people are trying to say, oh, this Facebook thing, the whistleblower, she's just trying to encourage censorship. I'm sorry, but in no part of her speech did I hear that. What I heard was not that she wants anything to be censored, but that they are giving priority to harmful shit instead of giving even priority to everything.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Right.
That's what I got out of it. That's what I got out of it, because they're leaning more towards the dark.
Yes.
They're leaning more towards the dark and the negative shit, because it's that clickbait. Gets more clicks.
Yes.
They need to balance it out and get everything back in harmony.
Yes.
It's the same thing, because one can't exist without the other.
Right.
So we already know. We know there's going to be fucked up shit, but you want to get the good shit in line more than you want to have the fucked up shit, is what she's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Agree.
This was such a good conversation.
This was so good. I enjoyed
we
it
talked
so
about
much.
Like so much stuff.
I enjoyed it so much.
Dude, I can't wait to look at it again. I can't wait to look at
it.
So I thank you so much for coming on and talking to us and sharing all your information and getting us updated on what you're doing and what's up and coming. And we're so excited for you and your books and, your business, that, you know, you're out there reaching out to people who really need it, and you're there for them. Like, I just love it. I love you so much. So we'll have to have you on in a couple of months, do an update and see how things are going. You know, maybe we could do some cards, maybe, I don't know, whatever, wherever the wind blows us all, we can do that. And we'll have a great time.
That'll be nice if we can get somebody on there that I can do a random glimpse on.
Yes, that would be awesome. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. And I will be in contact with you, and I hope you have a beautiful evening.
Awesome, you guys. Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you. Nice to meet you. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you too. Love you. Bye.
That was a great interview.
She's an amazing person.
Yeah.
I love her so much. Just, you know, her energy is so great. And we actually ended up at one of Devin's Zebra Improv shows together.
If you haven't seen our interview with Devin Rayford, go check it out.
Yes, Devin, my boy, he's awesome. She worked with all of us in that dungeon that we don't talk about.
Right.
And so we ended up at the same spot at the same time to see him. And I hadn't seen her in years. And we got to hang out, have dinner together and hang out and watch the show. And it was just so great. Like, her energy, just being around her, just puts you in a good mood.
Yeah.
Like, it really does.
She's super sweet.
She's sweet. She's intelligent.
Yes.
She's a go-getter.
I don't know how we ended up talking about the oppression of the man.
Well, it happened. Hey, that's a common thing. Like, we need to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I love her so much. She's just fantastic. And she's doing great fantastic things in the community. And yeah. I just, I look forward to seeing her each day post about her success. It's just, it's so inspiring. We will
definitely have to have her back. Yes. She was a fun guest for sure.
Loved it very much.
All right, guys, this has been the latest episode of Real Talk Tonight. Follow us on Rockfin or become a member at patreon.com/realtalktonight or buymeacoffee.com/Annalise. And we will see you guys next time.